Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have invited us to come before you to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is pleasing to you. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children and give all glory to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Word of God Come Down to Earth. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and have deserved only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, souls may be saved, faith may be strengthened, and your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture readings for today both have a similar theme. We have the theme of God's Word and the power of it to grow faith in the hearts of people. Our first reading is from the Old Testament. We read from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. A great promise in these verses that God's Word will not return to him empty, but it will accomplish what he pleases. A great promise for us here on Sunday when we're preaching God's word, but also we think about the upcoming week where we're teaching and preaching the word to our children in our vacation Bible school. God's word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish what he pleases in their little hearts as well. We read Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. Certainly my plans are not your plans, and your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my plans are higher than your plans. Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and do not return there, unless they first water the earth, make it give birth, and cause it to sprout, so that it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, in the same way my word that goes forth from my mouth will not return to me empty. Rather, it will accomplish whatever I please, and it will succeed in the purpose for which I sent it. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and then verses 18 through 23. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This is Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed, and Jesus provides the explanation for this parable in the last part of this chapter. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered there to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then Jesus' explanation of the parable is from verses 18 through 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed for you beginning on page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn is Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling. The hymn that we're going to be learning with the children in Vacation Bible School this week is the more familiar version of this hymn. This version has verses that apply to the scripture reading that we had for this morning. So we'll sing Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling. During VBS, we'll sing Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying. 827 on page 6 is our next hymn.
Voice of Jesus calling, who will go and
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Romans chapter 8. We read verses 18 through 25. That sermon text is printed for you in your service bulletin if you'd like to follow along. This is the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration from God, and he says, "For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that even creation itself will be set free from slavery to corruption, in order to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that all of creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time. And not only creation, but also we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for something we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patient endurance." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. While doing some housework this past week, I was listening to a podcast that is part of its weekly show, something called Good News for the Week. And the host went on to highlight a man who had just received an award for an incredible act of heroism, saving a man's life on a ski lift. It really was a pretty incredible story, and definitely something that would qualify as good news. And after recounting this amazing story, one of the hosts said jokingly, "And that's all the good news there is for this week." The other hosts, of course, ironically chuckled at his joke. Obviously meant to be a joke, but the reason it did produce some ironic laughter is it can feel that way at times, can't it? Maybe there is only one bit of good news in an entire week of our lives. Let me ask you, looking back over the past week, did you remember reading, watching, listening to, or experiencing more good news or bad news? As we observe the world around us, as we watch and listen to news reports, as we observe our own lives and the lives of our loved ones, it can seem at times that there isn't much in the way of good news. To some extent, this shouldn't surprise us, right? We know the world we live in. It is a fallen world, a world that is afflicted by and affected by sin and its devastating effects in every way. From natural disasters to diseases, political unrest, racial tensions, crimes, murders, and all-out war, to our own struggles, our own tragedies, in our personal lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Paul's description in our text does ring true most often, doesn't it? He says, "For we know that all of creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time, and not only creation, but we ourselves also groan." Now, obviously, I don't have any idea what it's like to have birth pains, but I've been told they're pretty bad. Mothers in the congregation are shaking their heads right now. Yeah, they're bad. That's the description Paul uses for how painful and how agonizing this world can be for creation itself and for us. Ouch. It makes me wonder, it can make us wonder at times, is there any good news? Well, yes. Yes, there is. There is the good news. And that is why you are here today, to hear that good news found in God's Word, the good news, which is what the gospel means, good news, about Jesus and what he's done to save us. So yes, there is good news. There is heavenly hope in hard times. When we look around us, when we look within us, at times the bad news we see can be overwhelmingly depressing. It can make us feel like there's no solution, like there's no hope, no way to make a difference, no way to turn the tide of evil or darkness that seems to be engulfing ourselves, our nation, and our world. It affects us and it afflicts us. And just because we are believers in Christ doesn't mean that we are immune to it. In fact, Paul specifically is talking about believers when he says, and not only creation, but also we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. Even we as believers, he says, groan inwardly in these birth pains that come as a result of sin in this world. His words are a reference to us believers, we who have been given the Holy Spirit. And to a certain degree, that is good. It's good that we are affected by the bad news that we see and experience around us. It can produce in us some good things. It can spur us on to action. It can move us with compassion. It can move us to speak up. In the same book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, tells us that we should rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When we hear of the loss of life, we should mourn those losses of life. We should be angered when we hear of injustices or abuses. We should be appalled and saddened by violence, hatred, killing, and any kind of evil. But we're also not to be in confusion or despair. We know that all of this is the result and the cause of sin and the curse that sin brought both on humankind and on creation itself. We know this from the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. We not only know the curse, we also know the cure. That cure, of course, is found in Jesus, and only in Jesus. He is not just our perfect example of how to live and truly love God and our fellow human beings. He is our Redeemer, our Savior. The one who saved us from our sins by giving up his own life on that cross. The one who saved us to give us something truly to look forward to. A very sure and certain hope. Our text reminds us of this. In fact, this main theme of this section is hope. Look at how many times the Apostle Paul uses the word hope in just these 8 verses. If you're good at counting very quickly, he uses the word hope 5 times in this text. The point Paul is making is not just that we and creation itself groan in birth pains, but that we and creation itself eagerly await that sure and certain hope of our final redemption, our full restoration when Jesus comes again. Listen again to verses 22 and through 24 of our text. For we know that all creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time. And not only creation, but also we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope that we were saved. This hope that he's pointing to is the redemption of our bodies. That is a reference to what's going to happen to us when we get to heaven. Our bodies will be restored and redeemed. So if all we do is look around at the bad news that we hear, that we experience, we will be driven to depression and hopelessness. And we'll likely just end up being paralyzed by fear and may not want to even do or say anything. Paul, in the very first verse of our text, reminds us instead to not just look down and look around or even look inside. He reminds us to look up. He says in verse 18, "For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. That's quite a statement by Paul, isn't it? To say that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us in heaven, that's quite the statement, because we know that the sufferings that we have on this earth can be very oppressive. That means the glories of heaven must be truly incredible. In a similar verse in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us of this true reality. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I shared these verses from 2 Corinthians a number of times last week as words of comfort after we heard about the passing away of one of our students in our school. But let me ask you, how can Paul actually say those things? How could he have written something like that, that our sufferings aren't worth comparing to the glory that we'll experience in heaven, or that the afflictions of this life are light? The tragedies of this life are not light. Disasters and life-threatening, life-altering diseases are not light. Violence, brutality, war, and killing are not light. Losing a child, losing a loved one is not light. How can Paul say that? It sounds almost offensive to anyone who is going through something extremely difficult or is experiencing a tragedy or loss in their life. How can Paul say that? How can Paul write that? Well, God inspired Paul to write that, to write that our afflictions are light and not worth comparing, because first of all, as he puts it, they are but for a moment. They are temporary. Secondly, compared to the eternal weight of glory in heaven, they are truly light. They're not even worth comparing. We need to shift our focus, as Paul says. We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We need to be reminded of this. I need to be reminded of this, especially when we see the news around us, when we see in our own lives and everywhere else, things are bad. We need to have our minds and our hearts lifted and turned toward heaven and that reality regularly. That gives us an eager joy. It gives us a certain, sure, and eternal hope and patience. As one Lutheran Bible scholar wrote, writing about these verses in our text, he said, "We walk toward that unseen but certain world, heaven, with the resilient steps of men whose future is so sure and so great that the present burden of our secular knapsacks seems no weight at all." That is what Paul means by patience, this waiting for God's time with the athletic stamina of certain hope. What are you going to do in the meantime while we wait? While we wait for that redemption of our bodies, that we wait for Jesus to come again to take us to our heavenly home. While we are still here in the midst of a painful, groaning creation, what will we do? What do we do? Again, Jesus is the answer and the solution. Because Jesus is the one who changes hearts through the good news of the gospel. He is the one who inspires us and empowers us to have the desire, the will, the want to, and the ability to do truly good things that he desires from us. Things like showing compassion to those who have suffered loss, to give help to those who are helpless, to those who are hurting, to show kindness and love in the face of hatred, to be a light in the midst of this darkness of this world, and to be a witness for the one true light, Jesus Christ, and to remember to pray. The verse that follows our sermon text in Romans 8 reminds us to do this very thing and reminds us of the special help the Holy Spirit gives us in praying and reminds us of a different kind of groaning that the Holy Spirit does for us. Not groans of pain, but groans interceding for us, pleading for us before our Father's throne. The very next verse after our sermon text is Romans 8:26 that says, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that are not expressed in words." Jesus is also the one who empowers us and inspires us to share His good news, to share the gospel with others. Think especially of the good news that we're about to share this week with 22 little ones at our vacation Bible school here in Mountain View. Of those 22 children, 18 who signed up are not members of our congregation. That means 18 children, we're not exactly sure what their spiritual situation is, how much they do or don't know about Jesus. It's entirely possible that for some of these children, this will be their first and possibly their only exposure to Jesus and the gospel. And for those students who do know and believe in Jesus as their Savior, think of what an encouragement this week is going to be for them. So whatever your involvement has been and will be in helping with our Vacation Bible School this week, whether it is teaching, advertising, volunteering your time and efforts, helping to provide snacks and lunches, donations, or prayers, remember to be encouraged by the promise from our Lord from our first scripture reading for this morning. "Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and do not return there unless they first water the earth, make it give birth and cause it to sprout so that it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, in the same way, my word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty. Rather, it will accomplish whatever I please, and it will succeed in the purpose for which I sent it." Because of Jesus and His promises, we have a sure and certain heavenly hope. Even in hard times, actually especially in hard times, we need to be reminded of this. We need Jesus and His Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith and our hope, to produce that patience in us that we need to persevere. We need to hear and read for ourselves this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to share this good news and spread that love of Jesus with others. And so we close our sermon for today with this short prayer. Let's pray. Hear our prayers and our groans when we are in pain, dear Jesus. Heal us and help us and comfort all who have suffered loss. Remind us of the sure and certain heavenly hope that is ours, especially when we are facing difficult times. Come back quickly to rescue us and take us home to be with You as You have promised. We pray this in Your name as we trust in You to keep all of Your promises. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn on page 8 in your bulletin, On Eagle's Wings. Please rise. Prayers of the congregation are requested for our vacation Bible school this week, asking the Lord's blessings on our work with the young children this coming week. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We give you thanks for all the children who have signed up to attend our vacation Bible school this week. Bless our teachers and staff with the ability to teach your word well and give these young children the encouragement of the good news the gospel of salvation through you, their Savior, Jesus Christ. You've promised that your word that goes forth from your mouth will not return to you empty. Rather, it will accomplish what you please, and it will succeed for the purpose for which you sent it. We pray then that you'd cause that powerful, life-giving word to take root in their hearts, that they may know and believe in Jesus as their Savior, and turn to him in every time of need. May this week be a joy and blessing to all who are involved. We thank you for all those who have given their time, their efforts, and their donations to make this Vacation Bible School possible. We thank you for giving safe travels to our volunteer teachers, and we pray that you would bless their time among us this week. Give us all good health, strength, and joy in serving you this week and always. Dear Savior Jesus, your word assures us that you want to take us to heaven to be with you in that perfect and glorious life that has been yours from eternity. To this end, you both died for our sins and rose again. We take you at your word, trusting you as our Savior and Lord, and longing for the wonderful rest that awaits us in our heavenly home. Dear Lord, life here is often wearisome and discouraging because of our daily struggles against the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. We long for the day when that conflict will be over, when the enemies of righteousness will no longer tempt us, and we will always do what is good in your sight. Our lives on earth are often filled with toil and sweat, with troubles and tears. We have fears and doubts and apprehensions. We long to be in heaven where you've promised freedom from all that now burdens us, that makes life hard and brings us grief. Dear Savior, you are the reason that we can hope and plan for heaven. We have no righteousness of our own to make us worthy of that everlasting life, but we know that through you, God forgives our sins and declares us to be righteous. Keep us from hardening our hearts against you and from turning from you in unbelief. Help us to resist the devil and his temptations. We ask you to help us by the Spirit always to take you at your word and to trust all of your promises. While we live in this world, constantly remind us that our treasure is not here, but with you in heaven. Keep us watchful and waiting for the hour of your return when you will come to take us to yourself. Until then, dear Savior, help us in our daily toils and struggles. Give us patience and strength to bear up under all things that test our faith. In your heavenly wisdom, lighten our load of suffering and sorrow. Forgive all our sins and inspire our hearts and minds with the peace of God which transcends all understanding. Live in us, dear Jesus, and grant that we who by faith have been crucified with you may live now by faith, always doing the works of righteousness that bring glory to your name. Take us finally to heaven and give us blessed rest there. In your name we make all of our petitions and prayers, and in your name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. On page 10 in your bulletin, Gracious God, you send great blessings. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Please be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. And we pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. We invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. And we praise the Lord that He's brought our two teachers for our Vacation Bible School this week to be with us. Marcy Schierenbeck and her daughter Jordan are here with us this week. We thank them for their volunteering, and we thank the Lord for bringing them here safely. Please introduce yourselves to them as you leave today. We have a few announcements for this week. There, I believe, is one more lunch that needs signing up for, if possible. The snacks, I believe, are all taken care of for this week, so that sign-up sheet, I think, is full. We're still accepting donations if you'd like to help out with some of our meals and sightseeing this week. We will be doing some sightseeing on three of the days that our visitors are here. A reminder also of our church picnic next Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet in the entryway if you'd like to bring a dish to pass. And next Sunday is a special Sunday, not just because of the church picnic, but it is a joint worship service with both of our congregations coming together. And we will be having a dual baptism next Sunday of two of the students who have attended our St. Stephen Lutheran School for several years now. Natalie and Vincent Lang will be baptized next Sunday. So we praise God for that. And we will, of course, as good Lutherans, celebrate with a meal at the picnic and cake. So please come and join us for both of those things next Sunday. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.